Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This evening, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What are you going to talk about tonight, Pastor? Well, I think I'm starting a series, and you know, normally I don't like to start series on Wednesday night because only about a third of the people are here. Either they can't be or they don't want to be, whatever the case might be. But I just felt compelled to do it anyway, and so they'll just have to get the CD, go to the website, or the podcast, or just do without. You know, whatever they want to do, but you can get it any way you want to. And, there's reasons why God has us do certain things. You know, my wisdom would have been started on Sunday, but probably somebody really needs this right now, so we're going to give it to you right now. All right, so what are you going to talk about? We're going to talk about holding fast to your confession. Now, this is kind of along the lines Pastor Chuck was at last Wednesday night when he was talking about, you know, being strong and being firm and steadfast. But we're going to talk about holding fast to your confession. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. The Bible says, "Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. Therefore, verse 58, because he gives us the victory, therefore, my brethren, be. Everybody say be. This is what we're to be. Right? You know, you're supposed to be, when you get married, how do you know you're supposed to be the husband? Amen. Don't be like the one minister said one time that he said, you know, I'd been married for 2 weeks and I made a statement to my wife, I just don't feel married. He said it was quiet the rest of the day. You know, guys can say dumb things and women, we don't know we said dumb things. So have a little mercy on us. We're just dumb sometimes, all right? And he said it was quiet the rest of the day. He said finally at the end of the day, his wife said to him, well, even though you don't feel married, act like it. In other words, be it. Amen. I'm still, you know, I start saying I'm old school, but I'm not old school. I'm Bible school. I still believe men ought to be men. And women ought to be women. Amen. You know, my wife got a new leather bag, you know, and for her birthday. I haven't seen it yet. I carried the package in, but I didn't know what was in it. And I didn't know where that came from, but she was describing to me, and I'm thinking, I might like that. And then she kind of said, well, it's kind of curved in on the side. It might look a little feminine. I said, I don't need that. If I'm going to carry something, I want to look like a, you know, I don't go for men purses. I'm still old-fashioned. I mean, I think I'm still biblical, to be honest with you. You know, I want something, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, I go to these cologne places to buy cologne, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you start smelling them after a while, they all smell the same, you know? And there's one place they got coffee beans you can smell and clear your nose out and smell the next one. I'm thinking, it all smells feminine to me. I want something that smells like John Wayne. You know, a little sweaty or something. You know, I want something to smell, and silk underwear, I don't think men all wear silk underwear. I don't know what's wrong with men today. Listen now, listen. There's people in our country who want to feminize men. And men ought to be men, and real men are real men. And real men are polite and nice, and they're not mean and ugly. But they're men. Well, I'll leave that at that. All right, praise God. But, you know, I still believe in men being men, women being women. I don't want to marry a wife that can whip me. I'm still stronger than Phyllis, still. A little less than I used to be, but I'm still I'm still stronger than her. I can still arm wrestle her and beat her, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes she does have to open my sodas for me and stuff, you know, to twist them. But that's getting embarrassing. But, you know, not all the time. But anyway, just certain days, you know, get this for me. But I don't know about you, but you know, I see, not only do I see this in the world where they're where the world is trying to get men to be more feminine. I'm not going there. But I see it in the body of Christ, where some of the men in the body of Christ are like big sissies. What is wrong with you? You get a little tongue lashing and you cry on Facebook? Your whole life fell apart because somebody didn't like your sermon and they put whatever it is, they didn't like you on Facebook and your life fell apart? You don't have much of a life. Hallelujah. This may be a little punchy series. See, we're talking about holding fast. You know, you got to hold fast. You got to have some gumption about you and some guts about you. Amen. And so, Paul said he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, verse 58, therefore, because he gives us the victory, hallelujah, therefore, my beloved brethren, be, everybody say be, this is what we're to be, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So because he gives us the victory, we're supposed to be steadfast. We're supposed to be immovable. I remember when I was a freshman, I played football. You know, in those days, they wouldn't let the freshman class play in a game with the varsity. You could practice. They could beat you up all they wanted to, Monday through Friday, but you couldn't play on Friday night against them. And so I remember one time, I was a freshman, and we were practicing kickoffs and blocking. And so, I'm running down the field, all 140 pounds of me. I'm running as fast as I can. And the guy in my lane coming at me is 6'9", about 300 pounds. He's the guy in front of me. He's the guy I got to block. I can't turn around and run the other way or I'm off the team. You understand? That's called chicken. So I have to block this guy. I will never forget this, probably because here I am, all these years later. This was like early 70s. And all these years later, here I am. I still remember what happened. I went to block him, and the next thing I knew, I was about 15 feet back the other way. He was immovable. My little 134 pounds, 140 pounds, was not budging that 300-pound, 6'9" guy. And I ended up way back there. I don't know whether I flew, whether I was transported. I have no idea. I just knew time I got done, the next thing I knew, I was like 15 feet the other way. Immovable. We had one guy on the team, we called him Haystack. There was a reason why. That was the size of him, a big haystack. And, these people were immovable, But, we as believers, we have to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a reason why we can be immovable. If you know you're going to win, you can just stick with it. Now, this would indicate that you're not necessarily going to win right off the bat always, but you just stick with it. If he says be steadfast, be immovable, how many know that means there's going to be something try to move you or keep you from being steadfast, or he wouldn't tell you to do that, right? I mean, there has to be a reason why he says this, amen? I mean, he wouldn't say it if there wasn't anything going to challenge your faith. So there's going to be some things. And so we have to understand that and just stay immovable. Amen. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, go to 2 Corinthians, just a few pages over to the second chapter of 2 Corinthians. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Go there, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I just want to show you, God wants us to come out on top, everybody. And so, but we have to stick with it. Amen. See, if we're going to experience God giving us the victory, we have to be something. We have to be immovable, unshakable, always abounding. Amen. Now, all right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, Now thanks be to God who, and I'm reading out of the New King James tonight, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. See, that's the way God leads us. If you follow Him, where's He going to lead you to? I said, where's He going to lead you to? He's going to lead you to triumph, right? If you follow Him. Now, if you don't triumph, you know, you didn't follow Him. You know, you follow the directions, you get there. Is that not right? You ever put anything together and then you didn't follow the directions? And it didn't work? And you go, but I've had that happen, you know, because I don't like to read directions. I'm just not, that's just not part of my makeup. I don't like to do that. And so if I will buy something, you know, and it has to be put together, I want to buy something that has the picture of it on the box. And I'll look at the picture. And if we get done and there's spare parts and it still works, we're good. I mean, you know, like they say, you don't need your wisdom teeth, so they take them out and then you're dumb. You know, and they'll say, well, you know, you don't need your what is this other stuff? Like, you don't need your appendix, we can take those out. You know what I'm saying? I wonder, you know, I guess God didn't know that. He thought, you know. But how many know there are parts you can take out and it still works? It may not work like it used to work, but it still works. Amen. And so, you know, if we follow the Lord, if we follow His instructions, we'll always come out on the other side and triumph. Because He always leads. He leads you that way. He's a God of victory. Are you listening to me tonight? If you've been around old Pentecost like I had, you've heard some of those old unbelieving songs like "Woe Is Me." I'm thinking, what in the world are we singing this for? You got to sing songs of victory. I remember years ago we had a lady when I was at the Revival Center with Brother Eddie, and she was an older lady. She was in her 80s, and her husband, who was also in his 80s, he went to heaven. You know, he just lived his time out and went on to be with the Lord. And, of course, they'd been married like 60s plus 70 maybe years, you know. And so, naturally, you've been married that long and your husband or wife goes, I mean, naturally, you're gonna hurt. You know what I'm saying? So he told me this. We were talking. He said, you know, she called me. And she said, I need you to come see me. You know, of course, you know, she's an older lady, so it wasn't anything wrong with this. She was just saying, I need you to come see me. And he said, well, he said, I'm busy right now. He said, I'll get there in a little bit. And he said, she called a little bit later, called back again, said, I really need you to come see me. He said, well, I'll get to you. He said, you know, pastors sometimes are busy, you know. I'm busy, I'll get to you. And he said, she called me a little bit later, the third time. He said, when she called me the third time, he said, I knew I had to drop what I was doing and get over there. This must be an emergency. So he said, I went over to her house and, you know, came in. And she's listening to country music. Now, how many know, if you're having problems with, you know, fighting something off, country music's probably not going to help you. I mean, that guy's singing, he's already got his own problems. He's lost his dog, his wife, and his truck. How's he going to help you? You know, Dr. Barclay was one time at the Grand Ole Opry. He knows a lot of people, and he's friends with a guy by the name of Ricky Skaggs. Anybody remember him? And Ricky was playing at the Grand Ole Opry, so he asked Doc to come, and so with being a friend, okay, I'll come. He said, so I'm backstage with him, and he says to me, he says, Doc, he said, do you know what you get when you play my records backwards? Doc said, well, I don't know, but I know what you get when you play them frontwards. He said, when you play them backwards, you get your dog, your wife, and your truck back. That's for us older people that remember the Beatles and the backward masking. And all right, never mind. Yeah. Some of y'all too young to remember John's Dead, you know. All right, that was a backward masking on one of their albums, supposedly. Anyway, he said to her, you've got to get that off of there. You've got to get that off of there, and you've got to get some praise music on. You got to get something that's going to lift you up, not something that's going to tear you down. See, now you can do what you want to, but I don't spend my time listening to the music of the world. I hear it when I go into the stores, you know, restaurants, they're playing it. And of course, I recognize the songs because I guess either they don't make any more new music or all the good musicians have all gotten old or died out, because when I go in the stores and I go in the restaurants, they're playing the stuff that I grew up on. And I listen to them thinking, man, they must not have anything left. Hallelujah. But, you know, I don't sit around listening to that. You say, well, I do. Well, you do what you want to. It's your life. You can have a messed up mind, you know. But a lot of that stuff is just, you know, it's not good for your mind. It's not good for you spiritually. It'll hinder the anointing in your life. It really will. It'll take away from it. So if I'm going to listen to music, I'm not going to listen to Elvis. Oh, my God, I just blasphemed for some people. You know, his blue suede shoes aren't going to help me. Come on. Jailhouse Rock's not going to do me any good. You know, if I'm going to the jailhouse, Greg goes to jailhouse, he rocks the place, but in a different way. All right. See, Jailhouse Rock's not going to do me any good. Stairway to Heaven's not going to help me because you can't buy one to go there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, come on, tearing my beer. I'm crying for you, dear. That's not going to help me. Man, you're getting all my favorite songs tonight, Pastor. Well, see, that's part of your problem. That's why you go through all these blues and depressed. You know, I come to church and you look all sad. I think I'm preaching pretty good, but boy, you're in bad shape. You know, I'm going to take a lot of sermons to get you out of that. Well, because you put yourself in that when you listen to that stuff, and it's not building you up. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. You can listen to whatever you want to. It's your life. But I'm just trying to tell you how to have a good sound mind, good sound life. Amen. You know, I listen, and that's what he told her. He said, you got to get that off of there. You got to get praise music on because, you know, you're down already, and you're listening to something that's down. You're just looking for comfort for your emotions and your soul, and that's not really the way to do it. The way to do it is listen to something that'll lift you up, listen to something that'll give you victory. Amen. Listen to songs like we sing here, hallelujah, that'll give you victory. And I've heard some Pentecostal songs I'd rather listen to country. Oh, yeah, God's going to get you for that. If he's going to get you, he'd already got you. You and me both. You know, and, you know, things like, you know, just, you know, little cabin in the corner of glory land. Well, help yourself. We're all going to be in nice mansions. You can have your cabin. You want it. Hallelujah. And sometimes they got a little vain. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus and tell the angels I'm coming home. Did it ever dawn on you Jesus might not want to live next door to you? Did it ever dawn on you, angels might say, well, who cares? I know they rejoiced when you got saved, but after you got saved, you might be a problem. It's good preaching or what? Amen. Being a little smart tonight, but anyway. It's good anyway. All right. Verse 14. But now thanks be to God who always, everybody say always. Always. I got that circled in my Bible. He always. If he's leading me, you know, if we have failure in our life, God didn't lead us into that. And we may blame it on him, but he didn't do that. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now this in triumph here, it can mean like a wild celebration. This word has a unique meaning to it where it says he leads us in triumph. It's a word that means like, it can mean like we're celebrating wildly. Praise God. We're really getting with it because God has really brought us some victory. Yeah. Hallelujah. But once again, that's not automatic. He has to lead you. You have to be steadfast. Amen? 2 Timothy. Now, in this series, I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures instead of just preaching from, you know, two or three or four, whatever. We're going to go through several ones because I want to just bring some things to you out of the Word, out of the Bible. So let's go to 2 Timothy. And we're just talking about hold fast to your confession. You know, and how God will lead us into victory. 2 Timothy chapter 3, go to verse 10. Paul said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Notice he didn't stop there. Persecutions, afflictions, which are, you know, tests, trials that come from the the devil, the world, which happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But notice this, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes. Hallelujah. So He'll deliver us out of all of it. Isn't that the same as saying He leads us into victory? Leads us into triumph through Christ? He gives us the victory. It didn't mean we wouldn't go through them, but He'll give us victory in all of it. See, what happens a lot of times is Christians, when they do have trouble, they think that there's something wrong with them. Well, if I just had faith like Pastor, if I had faith like Brother so-and-so, if I had faith like this one, I wouldn't be going through this. Well, did you know that's not true? Everybody goes through these things. I don't think any of us probably had faith like Paul. He went through them. Look at the fourth chapter, same book, 2 Timothy. Fourth chapter, 18th verse. And the Lord will deliver me. Hallelujah. From every, how many of them?
Every
evil work, and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Lord's going to deliver me out of every evil work. Of course, that's if I'm following Him, right? You know what I'm saying? If we're being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, then we qualify. You know, some people just don't have any staying power. You got to have some staying power. You got to just stick with it. Why? Well, because we're kind of a, and I'm the same way, I have to watch it, because we're kind of a microwave society. What I mean by that? We want things now. Amen. You know, even today, you go to the supermarket, and I like this, I'm not complaining about this, but I'm just talking about it's what we've evolved into. We can't be this way spiritually. In the natural, it's okay. But spiritually, we can't evolve into that kind of mentality. But, you know, I go to the stores nowadays. I like to do grocery shopping. I like grocery stores because I like food. I don't like Walmart because I don't like toilet paper. I use it. I don't have any affinity with it. But I will go there. I do go there sometimes, but it's just because out of necessity. But, I like going to the grocery store. Like, I feel really good in there. I feel like I'm in a world of my own, and cow gone take me away. But now I'm noticing, they're selling these pre-made meals that they've made up, They're in cellophane or plastic or whatever, and, you've got your meat here and your mashed potatoes or some kind of potatoes and your greens, and it's all in there, and you just buy that thing, take it home, put it in the microwave, and dinner is served. I agree with you, Angie. Hallelujah. I mean, why? See, we think different than our mothers thought, if you're a little older like me, or our grandmothers thought. They didn't think that way. They thought, we go back far enough, like grandma will go out and wring the head off the chicken. Did you know that chicken does not come in cellophane originally? Really? A lot of young people probably don't know that. They're probably, that's just the way these things come. They're just in cellophane. No, it was really walking around one day. And it gave an offering. Hallelujah. Maybe it was a sacrifice. And so, that's where they come from, right? And see, our grandparents, my mother still does. My mother's in her 80s. And just for her and dad, on Sunday morning, she will cook a roast, make yeast rolls, potatoes. And I'm thinking, why? See, that's not our mentality. I'm thinking, there's a grocery store right down the street. You can buy fried chicken for $1.99. Why would you want to stand over a stove for 3 hours when you can drive a mile and a half down the road and buy chicken? That's the way I think. How many think like me? I mean, I've done this cooking thing. Don't tell me anything. Don't you want me to look at me like that. I've done this cooking thing. One of the first things Phyllis said to me when we got married, as she said, now, do you want me to get up early and fix your breakfast and, before you leave? And I said, no, I'm good. She was almost like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't know I was releasing her for the next 30 plus years. You know, yeah. So, you know, if now I'm not, now she'll just tell you, I'm not picking on her. This is the way she is. If I waited on her to fix supper, it might be 11 o'clock at night. There's times she eats her supper at 11 or midnight. I'm long. I'm either in bed or on my way there. That's not the way I'm wired. So I've done a lot of cooking, and you know, there's times I've spent, you know, a long time cooking, putting stuff together, cooking stuff, and then in 15 minutes it's gone. I'm saying, this is foolish. I'm not doing this any longer. So I get it off the Swan's truck, you know, and they just put it in the oven, you know, and we eat that. I didn't say it was healthy for you, but, you know, rather than torment myself cooking, I'll take 10 years off my life if that's what it's going to take. My Lord, I'm going to heaven anyway. So, but you can't, you know, I'm just making the point. You can't be that way spiritually, because even though our times have changed, and you know, like you can get your burger in, you know, in a minute and a half or whatever from the fast food place, or your tacos, you know, in a couple minutes or whatever. God doesn't operate that way. The spirit realm doesn't operate that way. The devil doesn't operate that way. He's going to fight. He's going to contest. Are you with me now? And so you're going to have to be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you don't hold fast to your confession, he'll just take it away from you. He'll just outlast you. And that's what happens with a lot of the saints. He just wears them out and outlasts them. If they just stick with it, God would always lead them into triumph. They'd always get the victory. A lot of times people quit right when they're about ready to get their miracle. And it's like, you know, almost there. And they're like, well, I give up. You know, I thought God would have, you know, stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that God's, you know, this fast food God. Listen, he's not. Amen. Sometimes things take a little while. I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons why. One, the devil, he can test things. Amen. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But sometimes, you know, you maybe need to grow a little bit more before you get some of the things. You know, you just don't, you know, it's kind of like an inheritance, you know. When I remember years ago, my sister and her husband asked me if I would be like the executor of their will, you know, the power of attorney. They have a daughter and, well, two, and, you know, but they were young. And if they were to go, he didn't want them having that money yet, right? I mean, you just don't give a 12-year-old, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why not? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they'll rot their brain and their teeth out with it. And it'll be gone in no time. So they just like, would you take care of this if something would happen? Hey, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And all, and so, see, the same thing's true spiritually. We're not always ready for what we think we're ready for. We have to grow into it. The Bible says, John said, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers, or just as your soul prospers. In other words, God can only bless you as you can handle it. And I've told this story over and over and over again, but I'm going to keep telling it because it's a true story. Years ago at the Revival Center, and I don't even remember who it was. I guess God wiped the memory of it out. Maybe I didn't need to remember who it was. But the Lord, but this person came up to me and Pastor Eddie and said, would you pray for me to get a better job? And so we said, well, okay, we'll do that. They got a better job. And for 6 months, they weren't at church. They bought a boat and went out on the lake. Now, they failed the test. And I remember what he said to me. He said, and he's the senior pastor, so yes, sir. He said, we are never praying for anybody to get a better job again. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. You get a better job, you get it on your own. At that church, that was policy. If you want a better job, don't ask the pastors to pray, because we're not doing it. You talk to God yourself. Amen. So this person wasn't ready, see. You got to be ready. I said, you got to be ready. You know, the prodigal son, he wasn't ready for his inheritance. He went out and spent it foolishly. He wasn't ready. So you have to be ready. Sometimes we're not. See, just think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everything you said came to pass? See, there's an honest person right there. She said no. Why? Because she knows she's saying things she doesn't want to come to pass. Hello. How many people would be wrecked on Lloyd Expressway if everything you said came to pass? Sometimes I'll say to somebody's in front of me and they're doing something I don't like, and I'll say, what is wrong with those people? And Phyllis will say, I don't know. I don't know them. But, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? To get out of my way. What if that came to pass and slam, they're over in the ditch, all wrecked? You can see God. You know, the Bible said about Samuel, everything he said came to pass. He must have been pretty mature. Because he couldn't afford to do that with most of us. And I'll include myself in there too. Because there's times I say things, you know, I shouldn't say. I'm not talking about cussing. But I'm talking about things that I don't really want to come to pass. What if you had a backache and you said, that's killing me? There on your tombstone would be, this man died of a backache. Or you had a hangnail. That hangnail's killing me. This man died of a hangnail. Because everything you said came to pass. How many could understand God couldn't let everything you say come to pass? He couldn't give you that kind of power. Well, you'd destroy yourself with it. All right, amen. But he said, God, notice this, verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Thank God he does, amen. He delivers us from every evil work. Now notice this. Not, he delivers us. See, we got a present. He's delivering us, and he's preserving us for his heavenly kingdom. So we got a future coming. God's going to keep us around for his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Now, go to Hebrews. We're talking about holding fast to your confession. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He always gives us the victory. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, go there, and I want to read a verse there, and then I'm going to read another verse in Hebrews, and we'll see if we stop with that or not. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, saying then that we have a great high priest, I mean, that's Jesus, right? Who's passed through the heavens. Now, what's that mean? I mean, he's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, how many know if you have to hold fast to something, how many know that means it can be taken away? Right? In other words, he's warning us here that you have to, this is something you got to hold on to. You got to hold fast to, you know. You know, like if you're walking the kids across the highway or grandkids, you know, you know, and they're young, you grab that hand tight, you hold on to them because you don't know which way they're going to go. You know, because they don't have, you know, they don't have any sense, you know, until they don't know what could happen sometimes, you know. Is that right? You know, I remember when I was young, I was just a little bitty thing, you know, and I was mad about something. We lived in Winslow, Indiana, and I was mad, and I went out and laid in the street. Thank God it was Winslow.
Yeah.
You know, a car every half hour, 45 minutes. And, you know, Dad came out there, and he taught me a lesson that day about laying in the street. It was, thou shalt not. You know, God gave you, you know, we're not talking about child abuse, but God gave you some padding back there as a kid, you know, to protect you when you're corrected. Not PC, I know, but it just happens to be what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, you got a diaper on, it doesn't even hardly get to you. It just freaks you out. Hopefully you'll straighten up. And so that day, I got taught a lesson in corporal punishment. No, it wasn't a death penalty, but it felt like it. I needed to, you know, he wanted to make an impression on me. Don't ever do that again. He got it across. I've never laid in the street. Not when I was sober. That's B.C. before Christ, everybody. All right, I don't drink now. Nothing. Alcoholic. Well, don't look at me like that, you know. I got delivered from it. Why would I want to go back to drinking it? Dear Jesus. Why in the world? Well, Christians fight. I believe it's okay to drink. Well, help yourself, but we may be coming to pray for you in AA or something. I don't know. You may be standing up there and say, hello, my name's Bob. I'm an alcoholic. Don't tell me you go to Oasis Church. because we get people delivered here. Amen. All right. Now, that's nothing against AA or people that have had those issues. I'm just saying, when you get delivered, you know, you're baptized for the remission of sin, not the permission to sin. So you get baptized, you get delivered from all that. Well, Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Ain't nothing wrong with your stomach. The way you eat, I can tell. All right, let's move on since that's not going over. All right. Everybody say hold fast. How many know you have to hold fast? Why do you have to hold fast? Because it can be taken away. So, but see, here's an interesting thing. It says the reason we can hold fast is because we got a high priest that's passed through the heavens. What's this saying? We've got somebody up there to help us. Hallelujah. In other words, if we cast our care over on Him, if we really do, He'll take care of it. He's up there to help us. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Go there. Hebrews 10. We still got about as long as I want. Hebrews 10. Go there. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, notice this, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, you know, when people are going through, this is what I've learned as a pastor. When people are going through hard times and they say, Pastor, I need to see you, I need to talk with you, I need to counsel with you. And that's fine, because we're here to help people. We're here to help one another. But what I know is what I need to do right now, I don't have to have all these, you know, fix it now answers. I'm going to wave my hand over you and all your problems are going to go away. Some people think that the pastor has some kind of magic wand in his office. He pulls it out of his desk, hits you on the head with it, and you leave and you're delivered and you never have another problem. Well, if I had that thing, I'd hit myself with it first. All right? But what I've learned is what I've got to do is get you off the wavering train. Because most people that come to see me already know what to do. They already know what the Word says. They already have faith in God. But they encountered a speed bump and now they're wavering. And they're in their wavering moment. What I've got to do is come in and fortify you, pump you with the Word of God. Amen. And you have to shut up long enough to listen. That wouldn't be okay. You know, there's been times, now none of you, I'm not thinking anybody in here, everybody chill. Everybody say, I'm chilled. But there's been times I've tried to counsel people and they talk the whole hour. Counseling means, I think I ought to start charging for it. That way they'll shut up and listen. $75 an hour. Well, this is how quiet it is. I didn't say I was going to. I just said maybe I ought to. All right. Well, what's happening here? Well, you know, they have to be quiet long enough to listen. And what I'm going to do, all I'm going to do is fortify them in their stand of faith and prop them back up and say, stop wavering. Because we have to, the Bible says we got to do it without wavering. Right? What's wavering? Well, wavering is when circumstances come our way and we begin to doubt if we're going to make it out of this. I mean, have you ever been there where you know you have? Sure, all of us have. Where you have doubt. I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this or not without losing the house, the farm, and the cat. But the Word says you will. The Word says He always causes us to triumph. The Word says He always gives us the victory. Are you with me tonight? Yeah. Do you know what it says? Yeah. So what we need to do, we have to fortify people. Now, I'm not beating people down because... And don't think that I would because you're wavering. I've wavered. I told you the other few Sunday mornings back, something was bugging me. The devil was attacking my mind with something, in the ministry area. And I'll be when Pastor Ron get up, if he didn't change his sermon and preach on what I need to hear, and it knocked that out of me. That's why it's important to hear the Word of God. I mean, it's gone. It hadn't been back since that Sunday morning. It's gone. That's it. Hallelujah. What I need, I just needed to be fortified, and His Word fortified me. I thought, well, when He said, now, it wasn't like He said anything I hadn't ever heard, but I needed to hear it at this time. I mean, a word spoken in due season is a good thing. Sometimes it isn't anything new, you know.
We just need to hear it right now, you know.
That's right.
Amen. You know, sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes I comfort people, you know, and all. But in the end, you know, we're going to fortify you with the word. We're going to get you from wavering, get you back on your confession. So you're holding fast to it. And you're going to leave the office and you're going to be pumped up and you're going to be ready to go and take on another devil. You're going to say, where's that devil at? You see what I'm saying? So you got to build that up, because if you don't, you know, anybody can waver. Anybody can have this happen. Amen. Even the most sanctimonious of us, Pastor Jerry, could happen to him. I mean, he's next to the Pope. And he can have it happen to him. Am I preaching the truth or not? I mean, I know maybe I'm stretching a little bit with you. But, you know, we all of us can waver, right? And thank God for people that come along and say, you're going to make it, right? And tell you what the Word says. Amen. And sometimes you got to have people to help you. You know, we're not in this alone. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says that we're to exhort one another. Right? Right? Amen? You know, we're to stir. The King James says we're to provoke one another. And I know sometimes Christians are good at provoking people to anger. But I'm talking about provoke one another to love and to good work. We're to stir one another up.
Amen.
Amen. I think some people just wear God out with all their unbelief. You know, we sing that song, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. How many remember that? I mean, maybe it doesn't even sound like a song the way I'm singing it, but how many know what I'm talking about? I exalt thee, O Lord. I think for some Christians it's, I exhaust thee, I exhaust thee, I exhaust thee, O Lord. It's like, when are you ever going to get it? I sent like 3,500 Christians across your path in the last week to tell you. We're not that type, right?
Right.
We're getting it, right?
Right?
Amen. So we have to hold fast our confession, all right? Let's go to Hebrews. We're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Go there, Hebrews chapter 6. We're just talking about hold fast to your confession. You got to just stick with it. Said you got to stick with it, folks.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 6. Can't give up. Can't let go. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You just be defeated. You don't want that, right? Hebrews chapter 6, look with me at verse 11. Everybody got it? And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Anybody say diligence?
Diligence.
How many know we need to be diligent in the things of God?
Right.
We need to stop this as the saints come dragging in. And be diligent. You know, if some people came to their job like they came to church, they'd only last about 3 days. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have praise and worship to give you time to get here. Now, of course, we understand on Wednesday night sometimes people work and they understand that. But Sunday morning, you ain't working, honey.
Sure.
I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here on time. But anyway, just give the CD to the choir and let them know, you know, get out of bed a little earlier. One guy came to pastor. He came to his pastor. It's a true story. He said, pastor, he said, I need to, he late for church every Sunday morning. I mean, late. And he late for church every Sunday morning because he couldn't get up. So he came to his pastor. He said, I need you to cast this spirit of slumber out of me. Well, that'd be wonderful. We'd all do that if that worked. His pastor said, okay, well, let me ask you this. What time did you go to bed last night? Oh, 2:30 in the morning. He said, why don't you try this next Sunday before we cast this spirit of slumber out of you? Why don't you try this next Sunday? Why don't you go to bed at 10 or 11 and see if that helped? You know, that worked. He didn't need that spirit of slumber cast out of him after all. He just needed to go to bed. Sometimes we just spiritualize stuff, you know. Blame it on the devil when it's our own dumb fault, right? That's good preaching tonight. Amen. All right. Now, verse 11, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy. Hebrews 6, verse 11. Verse 12, but that you do not become sluggish. Have you ever felt sluggish? Right? You know, in the old days, our cars, you know, we had carburetors.
You know, they, and you'd have four barrel carburetors, you know, or, you know, Elder Brock manifolds if you souped them up, you know, and I forget what we called the carburetors in those days now, and it escapes me, but they were Hollies, thank you. A carburetor and all. Well, even in your regular cars, you know, sometimes after a while they begin to run sluggish. Now, I don't know if this really is true or not, but this is the way our dads taught us. When your car gets sluggish, you got to find a deserted place where there's no policeman like Brian, and you got to push it to the floor and blow it out. And it'll run a lot better. Well, I don't know. It seemed to work. You know, sometimes the car not running right. You know, but late night, you know, midnight, you know. And you find a stretch of road, and you nail it to the floor. You get that thing running, and you just blow that carburetor out. Next thing you know, she's running good. Because it's sluggish, you know. Sometimes you get sluggish spiritually, and you get lazy. Well, you know, you just got to speak to yourself and say, you get up, you lazy thing. Right? I mean, you know, you can't be like that guy going to his pastor and say, pray the spirit of slumber off of me. Shake yourself. What's wrong with you? I mean, shake yourself. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be sluggish. I'm going to confess the word. I'm going to stand on the word. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and, everybody say and. And patience inherit the promises. Or that word patience, you could say endurance. You just stick with it. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Isn't that something? God swore by himself? I mean, you know he's serious if he swore by himself. I mean, what's God going to say? I promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me. That's serious business when God swears, right? And saying, surely, verse 14, blessing I'll bless you, multiplying I'll multiply. And so after he had, everybody now notice this now, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, as a pastor, I've seen people come in, and if you don't have them fixed in 2 weeks, they're gone. And you know what? They go to the next church. And then that pastor, he can't fix them in 2 weeks either. And they go on again. And then they come back to your church. We've had people leave us three times or four. One couple I thought was trying to set a record. I mean, if we were giving out awards, they would have got it. You have left the most times and come back. You're awesome. It's good preaching. Hebrews chapter 10, go there. I don't know what some people are thinking, but you know, listen, sometimes we've been messing our lives up for 30 years and we think it's all going to get straightened out in 3 weeks. Now, thank God when we get born again, a lot of things do get straightened out, right? Yeah. We become new creatures. But there's some things that, you know, that we have to, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. We just got to stick with it. Abraham stood for 25 years for a son. That's a long time. And when God gave him the promise, he could have children. He proved that because he had one by Hagar. See, at those times, you know, I'm sure they didn't know which one was the issue with Abraham and Sarah not having children, you know. You know, we read the Bible, it says she's barren. Abraham didn't read that. Right? He's living the Bible. So they don't know which one it is for sure, you know, right? It could be the man or it could be the woman. But when Sarah came up with that really dumb idea, you know, I'm going to give you my handmaiden, my, you know, servant lady, and you sleep with her, you marry her and sleep with her. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do that. And he did. And then she got pregnant. Well, now we know who it is. Maybe Sarah's trying to prove, see, it's you. You know, she did get mad after it happened. She got mad at Abraham. It's like, it was your idea, woman. It was a dumb idea, but you thought of it. I think much she got mad because she thought, well, it is me after all. But before they ever had the child, Abraham couldn't have children. The Bible says his body was dead. Deadness of Sarah's womb. 25 years, but it still came to pass. See, a lot of times when you're waiting, it may look like it's getting worse. But God's up to something. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need. Notice this. You got need of it. You got need of endurance, so that after, everybody say after. Okay, this is when it's going to happen. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Well, the promise didn't come until after you do the will of God. Is that right? It's not going to come until after you do the will of God. What does that mean? Well, Pastor Chuck was talking about last Wednesday night, you got to stand. You got to be willing to stand. You've got to be willing to be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Even when things don't look like it's going or moving or happening, you still got to stand. When you do that, after you've done the will of the Lord, then you can receive the promise. Isn't that good? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you've got to hold fast to our confession. Amen? We just got to hold on to it. We got to just stick with it. Praise God. I know this isn't really deep, but I tell you what, people need to hear it. They need to hear it. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for His Word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.